Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, we got an action-packed show for it today with Jane King and Matt Demeter. But in the meantime, for a closed market, there was a little bit of action, right? S&P futures down about 12 bucks. Dow down over 100. NASDAQ getting clobbered. Oil a little bit higher. But Euro currency got under a little pressure. Bitcoin up 1,100. So all is right with the world once again. And gold looks to be a little bit lower. You know, I think that, of course, as you know, I felt that the rally that we just had was expected. I think we know that that this is the key area, which we've said over the weekend, that the key area was right where we are. And we'll see. I mean, again, you can't necessarily judge based on today's action, because today is a holiday. So, you know, this could have been just thin trading. There's a lot of things to look at. But again, certainly them going lower was a big thing. And of course, the Russell was also under pressure. But again, I think that I would say that the top is in. And I would say that the top is in gold, oil right now, the euro currency. I think there's a lot of tops right here. And again, that does not mean that we go immediately down and get crippled. All that means is that I think we see the upper end of the range here. And again, we could consolidate for a while. We could do a lot of things. But I do think that the near-term top is in. I don't think we'll be seeing that, new high after new high and seeing the pundits rallying around the campfire telling us how great the markets were. I think that for now, I think we see the top, and then, of course, we'll look forward afterwards and go from there. I think, again, the overall view of the markets are, you had some late-minute short covering come in. You had a lot of stuff to think about. But really, the markets are just the markets, and it should be no surprise that you're going to get rallies. I mean, again, I always go back to 08, which is the most recent one, and we had plenty of big rallies then as well. So, if you think that, just because, that it all of a sudden rallied means that we're going back to highs, I would think again. Now, again, we're not going to tell you to go ahead and get crazy here because, again, it comes back down to the market footprint and what you're looking for and what you're going to see. And there is no reason to get overly aggressive here, but, we will find a spot at some point to get aggressive. And when we do, then we'll go for it. But right now, we're just going to sit back and kind of watch the action and take a little bit of a short position, up at these levels. And you figure about, about 25.2 in the Dow and about, 27.40 or so in the S&P. And I think those are pretty good levels. I think those are opportunities to play the short side of the market. Now, certainly you have to put some protection in, you have to use some stops and, so maybe you got to be prepared in case they go farther than we think we can, because we always know one thing for sure. Markets can always go farther than we think. And of course they can also go down farther than we think. But right here, it was interesting because, Sunday night into Monday, the markets were kind of lifting higher, lifting higher, lifting higher. And then all of a sudden, bang, zoom, goodbye, Charlie, and they fell apart. They fell apart, about 8:30 this morning was when they started to fall apart. And, of course, they were closed at noon. So, which is, holiday trade. So we can't put a lot of stake into the trade, but we did expect it to be lower, and we'll see where it trades from here. But I think that you have to be very alert and very aware that the markets are pretty much on edge. And I think you're going to see, you know, the dollar's taken off, which we expected to happen. And, you know, with that, we would expect the markets to break. You know, this is, again, going to be this looks to be the Fed diddling in the market. And, of course, once they're done diddling, and once they're done, and I think they're done. I mean, my opinion is they're cooked. They have no clue of what's going on. And they're going to be done with their ability to manipulate. So after that, I think you then see that we will start to work our way to the downside. And certainly it's going to get ugly, in my opinion. And again, I've said this a number of times right here, is that the Fed is, in my opinion, the black swan of the market. Okay, I think that they're going to show you why they're the black swan. I think that, you know, the picture was very simple, that the swan itself will be that they cannot control interest rates. And that's something that, you know, we look for all the time is, you know, can they control it? And I think they've now lost control. I think that when you look at it from that picture, it all of a sudden makes a lot more sense. And of course, our views are very simple, is that we want to see, you know, this continue. But of course, we would look for a rally then again to sell. So, you know, like if it was just today, I'd be looking for a rally back to, you know, 2730 or so for a short term trade. But again, because the Fed is totally out of their minds and have totally lost any control that they might have had, you know, because, again, they've got no bullets left. They've got no more places to go hide. And again, remember that interest rates rising is going to start taking money slowly out of the equity space, because the interest rates are going to attract savers back into bonds and things like that, because they don't want to be in the market in the first place. And that's one of the things that you always have to remember, is if the savers don't want to be in the markets, then, you know, as soon as they get the opportunity, they're going to get the heck out of Dodge. And I think this is part of their opportunity. And I think this is going to be something that we're going to see continue. And don't be surprised if oil doesn't start to fall apart this week. Don't be surprised if the euro currency starts to fall apart, and don't be surprised if we see some sort of a bond rally, just as a matter of a short covering or a rally back from the lows. I mean, you know, there's going to be, again, in any product, there's always going to be some sort of a rally, some reason for a move in the other direction. Just like if we were going straight up, we would say there'd be a sell-off, and then we're going down, we would say there'd be a rally. And I think that's one of the things, you know, we all get too tied up with, we can only think in one direction. In other words, we can't think in the abstract. The abstract view is very simple, okay? The trend right now in the market is a little bit lower, okay? So our abstract view is we want to look to sell rallies. We want to look to sell double tops into strength. Versus before, when it was just going up all the time, you wanted to look for some support reasons to be a buyer. So far, this has played out exactly as we have scripted it. We wanted a huge sell-off followed by a rally, and the rally to fail. Well, so far that's playing out right from where it should be. But again, it's too early to tell, and today's holiday trade is not enough to get overly excited with. But we'll continue to be on the case and ready to rock and roll, because that's what we do at the Bubba Show. And of course, you know, don't forget to get my daily updates every single day. You know, I send them out right up to the close. A quick video just giving you a description of what happened today, and then what I expect to be part of tomorrow's trade. So if you want to get tomorrow's newspaper today, all you got to do is sign up, and you go to BubbaTrading.com, and the little box pops up, and you sign up for Bubba's daily updates, and they come right to you. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm is the only news source you'll ever need. We have that's where my show is at, and that's where Sporting Edge is at, as well as Crypto Investor X. So make sure you check out LibertyTalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show Top Up Horse. We're going to step out here for a break, and we're going to come back with our friend Jane King right after the break. This is the Bubba Show Top Up Horse. We're coming right back to you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the resident genius of The Bubba Show, Jane King, who says the markets were going up last week. And, of course, they've gone up every day since she said that. Lila Max Media, The Kaching Report. Jane King, what's up?
Thanks. I'm going to, like, relish in this moment because there's so few of them, as you know. Anybody who's in the markets knows how hard it is. But, yeah, I mean, it just seemed a little kind of overdone there. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, where do we go from here? I mean, I think I still think the market's really strong. I kind of like I look at this as two like back-to-back bull markets. Like people say the bull market's getting the first one to me was Fed-driven. It was all kind of artificial. This one's really kind of a structural change in how people look at work and how people look at business. And I think we're kind of entering a whole new era.
Do you? Okay. Again, I won't argue with you. I just think that I think there's a lot of things that need to be done. I think we've priced in a lot of things, and nobody's talking about the debt, and nobody's talking about the higher interest rates. And you and I both know one thing for sure from being in this business is that a lot of the people that are older, retirees, fixed income people, they're dying to get out of the market. And the 10-year pushes over 3%. They may go running aboard right to that 10-year note and take the 3% and be happy with it.
Yeah. No, I think those are definitely, I mean, the debt to me is a huge worry. I think it's just a horrible thing that we're doing to our next generation and a generation after that. I think it's crazy. And that's going to come under roost at some point. But I think it might be a couple of years away at the earliest. I just hope we see enough kind of change. Now, if we can just kind of get the schools to make some changes, then I think we'd really be kind of humming along, be a new America.
It could be. Now, something obviously a very sad thing happened, and I'm going to get your opinion on a couple of things, but of course that's Parkland and the shooting, which is obviously you, of all people, would be more concerned than anybody, you know, because you have young kids that are still in school. Mine are not in school anymore, but it's such a tragedy, and this is not the first one. But every time something like this happens, the gun people come up and, you know, the anti-gun people start saying, well, you know, if we stop the guns, and I want to get your opinion, and this is mine first. The criminals are going to get the guns no matter what. So you can make all the laws you want, but the guys that are on the other side of the law, they're not going to be stopped because of some crazy law or registration or legislation. What is your opinion of that, and what is your opinion of the rules in general?
Well, you know, I think about this a lot, of course, and every time we have one of these shootings, and my daughter is 8, I was watching the news, you know, Wednesday night, and she came in and was like, what happened? And, you know, I tell her, I mean, I'm very honest with my kids about just about everything, and I told them, you know, there's a shooter at a school in Florida, and so I think, you know, I honestly think it's time to do a comprehensive report about this, almost like a 9/11 report. And really go into, and I would like to see why, for example, Chicago, where guns are illegal, why do they have such a high murder rate? What is behind that? Why in Switzerland, for example, they have a lot of gun ownership, but they don't have the school shootings and the movie theater shootings and things like, you know, that we have here. I would like to see what... I would like to see the FBI take more seriously. And how many, all over the New York subways, it says, if you see something, say something. Somebody said something about this guy on YouTube who said that he was going to be a professional school shooter. I mean, come on, how much more obvious can you get than that? And the FBI kind of brushed it aside, like looked at it quickly and was like, well, we can't do anything more with this, which is, I don't believe. So I would like to see that taken more seriously. I'd like to, one of the big indicators of people who go on to become murderers like this is how they treat animals. I would like to see animal abuse carry some stiffer penalties. I would love to see mental health counselors in schools. I would love to see education just reformed completely and a lot of different changes. And one thing, a mental health counselor in every school, and for people to be more accepting of mental health doesn't mean a weakness. We all go through hard times in life. I mean, I'm an entrepreneur, and entrepreneurs are at higher risk for depression and anxiety and exhaustion. And, you know, I think it's okay to kind of say, look, I'm feeling like I'm slipping a little bit here and need somebody to talk to about this and kind of get back on track. I think that's okay. And I think I would like to see us If this was going to be a comprehensive thing, it's got to be a lot of stuff. And outlawing guns, I don't think is the answer. I think it's a lot of different things that need to change to stop these things.
And I agree. I think that there's, you know, you and I both agree that the school system is not very good the way that it's set up, because there is so many holes in it, and we're still in the, the No Child Left Behind type of thing, right? And the fact of the matter is that if you're not going to educate them properly about everything, including mental health and everything else, then you're creating your own problem, because you're turning out your own bunch of people that, you know, that slip through the cracks that could be the next, you know, killer or whatever. And it's a shame, because we focus on the wrong issues, I think. That's my opinion. I think we're worried about... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and it's not just like who's the next killer. It's also like dealing with just the stresses of life and anger at your kids or anger at coworkers or just depression and kind of... It's all of that. Like, all of those things need to be addressed. It's I think that, you know, all of us, I mean, we live, 80 years on average almost, and most of us are going to go through some tough times, you know, whether it's, you know, a death of a loved one, or it's stress of school, or being bullied. I mean, it's just, there's so many things, and I think that a mental health counselor in every school that sticks with it, that like a kid just doesn't just come in and go, well, you know, blah, blah, and then it's over. It actually sticks with it and really tries to talk it through and give them coping strategies. And I think I think that's one thing that could really help these situations.
And I don't disagree with you. I think, as we both know, kids are very impressionable when they're young, and they can go either way at a lot of times. And having that good parent that they can talk to, or somebody in school that they can talk to, can change the life of many if somebody gets caught when they're young enough. I mean, obviously, we know depression is an illness. You know, it's not just, you know, we like to, you know, in the old days, they throw people in the closet who were either mentally ill or had physical deformities. They hide them. But, you know, again, I think that needs to come out in the open. And I'm in 100% agreement with you there. I think that we need to address a lot of these situations head on, so we don't, you know, because a lot of these problems, even in today's economy, you know, from the borrowing of all the money, I mean, a lot of these things could be addressed at a much younger age, I think, if we had more open communication instead of just trying to get kids from one grade to the next. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think that's totally true. I mean, this is a deeply seated thing, and I just, you know, I think that just there's so many things are so expensive for so many people. And there's, I mean, the woman, this is a separate story, but she died this week from the flu. Young woman, like 32, had two young kids, who she didn't want to pay the $100 for the flu medicine. So, I mean, that's, you know, obviously short-sighted now looking back on it. But it's just, things are getting more expensive for people. We don't really have a government that is, like, efficient and answers to people's problems. I think all that just kind of adds to it. I think there's just a lot of people out there that feel like their needs are not being addressed. And I just think we need to kind of rethink the way our whole society operates, because a lot of people are being left behind.
And no question about it. All right, before we go, are we repodcasting? How's the education program going? Are we getting that back up? What's going on?
I'm working on it. Okay. Yeah, I'm working on it. So there's these twins. Young women, they're singers, just awesome. They perform at this Christmas thing that we do every year. And they just wrote a book about millennials and saving money. And so I'm working on getting them on, and I want to use their music in a podcast because they're so great. Their mentor is, I'm going to forget his name, but he was a guitar player on David Letterman. So they've really got like an M in the music industry. And so we're going to get them on, and we're going to get this podcast thing up and running again.
Well, that's entrepreneurship. You got other things you got to do, and I get it. And Jane King, you are our resident genius, and great calls on the market. And thanks for the, unfortunately, some of it was sad, but it's great for great commentary on what's going on. And as always, we love having you on, and we appreciate you. Thanks, Jane.
All right. Thanks,
Todd. Our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and of course, she's a big advocate of education, as am I. And of course, that brings us to our high school investing site, highschoolinvesting.com. And if you'd like to help us survive and make it through the next 7 years, we could use your help at patreon.com/BubbaTrading. Again, that's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz will be back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We're coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Bubba Horwitz of BubbaTrading.com. So, Matt, you were telling us about if you had bought all of these, if you bought $10 in each one, and go ahead and finish your story, sir, please.
Sure. So, say, first day of trading for all 1,500 coins that are out there today. If you had put $10 into each of them, and you there's one that there's multiple that have made over 10,000% returns, or you know, made over 100-fold return, and multiple, many. But let's assume they all went to zero. The one that I'm thinking about used to be called Ryblox, and it came out publicly trading below a penny. And then it ran as high as to its high, it got up to about $36. Your return was something like I'm forgetting whether it was 4,000 times your money or 40,000 times your money. It was insane. But if you put $10 in to all of them, and all of them lost except for that one, you would be sitting on $27,000 profit. Just from that $10, and that's including all the losses that you took. Because that, so if you put 10 into all of them, that's $15,000. So that's subtracting the $15,000 you lost. So I'm just saying, like, if you spread your bets, some of these are going to be huge. Some of them are going to, you know, anything that turns into world currency obviously is going to, you know, go very, very high. And you know, others will be, you know, analogs to Facebook and Amazon, and they'll do very well too. So the space is here to stay, and I think also think it's a good idea to diversify and to, you know, have multiple shots on goal.
Right, and right, because you're really playing more the probability that one of them that would get picked up is possibly a world or a country currency, and also that they're going to be accepted. And when you talk about, now, you know, certain places accept cryptocurrencies already for payment in a form. And of course, the biggest is Pat Byrne from Overstock.com. I mean, his whole business is basically based on cryptocurrencies now. Do you see this expanding over the next couple of years, where more and more companies are going to pick up this and allow them to be used as real currencies? And, you know, because, you know, obviously I see this all the time online, like with some of the poker sites and some of the gambling sites, they want Bitcoin. They'll give you a bonus for signing up with cryptocurrencies. So do you look for this to be more rapidly accepted going forward?
Yes, I do. I think the longer it sticks around, the more legitimacy it gains, and the more confidence people get in the cryptocurrencies. And, you know, it's just a comfort level thing and a confidence thing. And, yeah, there's. I do. I see more companies accepting it, and also more companies thinking about, you know, new companies thinking about, going public through you know, the crypto space. If their business right now, you would only do it if your business is already you know, lends itself to the crypto space. But there are also efforts out there to legally tie a company's equity with crypto tokens. So that would be even more mainstream the way we would think about it, where instead of trading shares, they are trading tokens, but they do legally entitle you to equity ownership in the business. So that there's a project that's actually happening here in Florida where they're trying to make that legal connection, and I think that's a pretty interesting project. But it's not live yet, but I think it's coming.
Now, what do you think the relationship is between the crypto world and the equity markets? I mean, obviously both rallied last week. I mean, you know, the equities have been up now 6 days in a row. And so some of the cryptos have actually had a nice recovery, and, you know, Bitcoin's back, you know, in five digits instead of four, and, you know, others have rallied. Is there a correlation in your mind between equities and cryptocurrencies?
It appears like there is. It appears like the cryptos are almost moving ahead of stocks. They're, you know, maybe a week ahead of where stocks are, but I mean, you know, we're looking at the either that or they're not correlated. I guess, you know, the bottom for the cryptos was February 5th. The bottom for the stock market was February 9th. So I think there is some correlation on it. And I just think it has to do with, you know, demand for risk assets and, you know, I do think when we get really, really severe shakeouts and high volatility in stocks, then, you know, if you're losing your ass and getting margin calls in stocks, you're going to have to raise cash somewhere. And if cryptos haven't been hit yet, then you're probably going to go try to raise money there. I think that the more mainstream investors get into crypto, the more it's going to look that way too. Like the more the correlations will go together. It's unfortunate because I'd like to see I'd like to see the crypto stay essentially non-correlated, but I think that there is some correlation now, and I think it will probably increase over time.
Okay, so I'm not a guy that believes in any true correlation, except, you know, I believe that the suppression of the U.S. dollar right now, which I think is being led by the Fed and central banks because they're trying to control interest rates. That's a direct correlation at this time. But over time, they may correlate in the long term. But in the short term, you know, anything goes. I mean, just because the dollar is going down, I mean, you know, we looked at the space, you know, and the dollar was getting crushed, but yet the dollar denominated commodities were not going up. So it didn't really matter at that time. And I think that has to do with, you know, cryptos as well. And I think that, again, to me, I look at the crypto space as a better opportunity for a true free market. I mean, you know, you can trade anytime you want. You wake up in the middle of the night, you want to go trade cryptos. You know, it's Sunday night, you can go trade them, you know, or Saturday night. You know, you decide not to take your wife out and you want to trade cryptos, you can trade them, right? I mean, so it makes a big difference, don't you think?
I absolutely agree. And these markets, and what's beautiful about these markets right now, at least, is that they're too small for the institutions to get in there and manipulate them. There's not enough liquidity to handle, you know, these huge whales. So you're looking at markets that they're not really touching, which is how you know that, you know, the fact that they're not in there is how you know that they're pretty free and free of manipulation. So yeah, no, I mean, I think they're great, and you know, we'll just see how they evolve. You know, the regulators want them to mature so that they can. Well, it gets into a whole longer story with where this might go, how this may evolve. But when they do get big, I think the institutions come in and you know, they may not be as free as we'd like, but we'll have to wait and see. I hope they stay the way they are.
Well, I would think they would. I think that's the whole principle. But of course, you and I both know there's always a lot of Anytime there's money involved, there's a lot of shady things that go on because, you know, I would say in my eyes, the criminals are always ahead of the government or against the lawmakers. And that's, you know, why they typically benefit first and faster. So I think that becomes a problem. And of course, I'm sure it exists in the crypto space as well. And whichever side you want to look at, don't you think?
Yeah, no, everybody moves. Everything moves faster than the government. The criminals move faster than the government. What I like is that technology moves faster than the government. I mean, they're going to be behind the times. Like, the crypto space is technology. They're going to innovate and move faster than, you know, any bureaucrats can get their act together and figure out how to regulate it, cuz once they've decided, you know, to regulate it, they've already done something else. They've already, you know, made the next, you know, chess move. They're already 10 chess moves ahead. So, you know, I'm a believer that technology wins out over government incompetence, but, you know, we'll have to see.
Everything wins out over government incompetence, and boy, do we have incompetence there. And of course, their problem is always that they're more worried about figuring out how to tax it versus how to make it work and make it work within the scope of what all the crypto investors want. I mean, you know, basically, I think crypto investors want to see the end of the Fed, don't they?
There's a huge libertarian bent to crypto investors. So, yeah. I would assume they want to see the end of the Fed. And yeah, I don't believe regulators are so, as we talked about, I don't think they're so interested in protecting the public as they are figuring out how to tax it. And, you know, that's going to be really interesting when it gets into these, you know, privacy coins and so forth and decentralized exchanges that you can't shut down. The one thing that they got going for them is the legacy banking system, and, you know, people trying to get from the legacy banking system into crypto. They may be able to shut off some of those on ramps, and, you know, the more they do that, the more difficult it will be. But there are going to be jurisdictions that'll make it a lot easier, and there'll still be ways around it. But that's the one thing they have going for them is that, you know, current dependency on the banking system is if they shut off all roads from that system to crypto, then that'll make things difficult. And I think that will come at some point. Right now the environment's actually pretty friendly, and I don't think we have to worry about that for another year or two. But, you know, at some point that's probably going to be there's going to be a shakeout based on that.
There's always shakeouts, and this is Crypto the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, our technical analyst genius, also cryptocurrency expert. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, don't forget to go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as Crypto Investor X with me and Matt Demeter, and of course, the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which comes to you right after the market closes every single day, so you can get an idea of what we saw and what we're looking for tomorrow. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemResearch.com. And so let's get back to Matt. We look at a lot of the crypto world, and we look at the equity markets as well. And of course, we had a little bit of rally in both. Now, what do you look for in the equities coming forward here now? You know, do you see a continuation of a rally? I mean, I know that you had one of your key levels was hit in the NASDAQ. You called for a top at X, and it actually came within points of your level in the NASDAQ. And of course, we've now sold off and then rallied back. Now, is this in your mind a pause? I mean, I look at it, I'll give you my opinion first so you can get an idea of what I'm thinking. I thought, and I had called for a big sell-off, but it wasn't that I was wanting to be short for the sell-off. What I really want to look for is the opportunity to sell the subsequent rally that would fail to make a high. And to me, that would be a signal that a top is in. What are your thoughts regarding all that?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the traditional, but the better, you know, higher odds way of getting short in a bear market is wait for that lower high and short into the bounce. As it is, like, I'm looking at the NYSE composite. On Friday, it closed at just under 13,000, which was a resistance point for me. And if that holds, if 13,000 holds as resistance, then, you know, and I expect it at least will for a day or two, then, you know, we're going to get some downside action. If 13,000 is broken to the upside, that changes things. Then I think we can run quite a bit higher. I think we can challenge the highs. I wasn't completely happy with the tops that we got. It was actually a very good top in the S&P. It was a very clean hit and actually an ideal top. But the top I have in the S&P, it's a rising line. So we can go back up, still respect a pattern, and make a slightly higher high. With the NASDAQ, I had two targets. I had an alternative target at 75.20, which is what I stated, and we peaked at 75.05, pretty close, and 8,000 in the NASDAQ. That was my higher alternative high. And I'd really prefer to see the higher target hit, just because then, you know, that will have filled the full, from top to bottom, that height or width or however you want to look at it, will for me be complete and there'd be no question about it. And I also want to see the NYSE go a little bit higher too. So personally, I would like to see higher highs made, but I don't think we're talking about, you know, miles higher, you know, like with the NASDAQ, yes, that's 500 points higher, but, you know, we're talking about, you know, 5%, you know, higher highs that I'd like to see. One thing I'm looking at that kind of supports that view is the commercial guys have gone heavy short VIX futures. So they've been long VIX futures for a while, and they finally got their big volatility event. And into that volatility event, they shorted the hell out of VIX futures. They're more short VIX futures than I've ever seen them, about 100,000 contracts short. So in that context, and I'm sure they've taken some of those shorts, they've covered some of those shorts, because they've already made a really good money off those over the, you know, the cutoff for the COT reports on every Tuesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we had a continuation of last week's rally. So they've probably taken more off, but I don't think it's done. So I do think we have more upside at minimum, so that they can take more of those VIX contracts off. And I think, you know, they want to be better situated for the next big sell. So I'm also watching what they do as we go higher.
Right. I mean, because again, the VIX, I've never seen it in my life that the VIX went up 100% in one day. And they can call it all they want from the whistleblower for whatever, but in the meantime, it did go up 100% in one day. And of course, it makes sense that they were loaded up way at the bottoms and they kept buying and buying and buying. And so now they're selling off of it. Now, what do you look for? You know, oil last week was, you know, had a little bit of a rally. I mean, I didn't think much of the oil rally. I think you and I agree. Now, I don't know what you think short term. I know long term we agree 100% on where oil is going, but I know you're short oil. Are you still short oil and are you looking to sell more?
Still short oil. It's just too good of a opportunity to, you know, we took a little bit off, took some profits because we were heavily short oil towards the top that we recently had, and it was just time to take a little bit of profits, but still maintaining a pretty large short position. We could go all the way back up to the highs and make slightly higher highs. We go to my target wasn't perfectly hit. It was missed by 50 cents. So I'm looking at maybe, you know, the target right now is about 68.2 in April futures. So we could go all the way back up to the highs, make slightly higher high. And if we do, great. I'll just reshort what we covered. But, you know, longer term, we're on the same page. I think it's, you know, going a lot lower. I was just irritated that we didn't quite hit my target. We missed it by a little bit, and that opens the door that we may have to go all the way up there and actually hit it.
Okay. Which now is that target declining or is it rising?
Unfortunately, it's rising. So if it's not rising super fast, it's about 5 cents a day. So call it 25 cents a week. So yeah, right now it's 68.20. So, yeah, add on 25 cents per week.
I don't want to add on. I want to see it at 20.
I
know Citibank came out with a call and said it's going to 90. I go, another manipulated scam from our friends at Citibank, right?
Probably all, you know, probably investing in the Saudi Aramco deal or their
I think they're just trying to get short. I mean, this goes back to my floor trading days when they, you know, they make these ridiculous calls and they're really just trying to get the average guy in the street to buy so they can sell. And of course, gold hit a target. And I know you thought gold could go back into the 1400s before it would actually break. I thought, you know, 1362 or 3 was about as high it would go on this particular run. And we failed at that level and sold off a little bit. What's your take of gold here?
It still appears to be respecting the pattern I had that we get it up just above 1400. It's declining. I'm still looking for, you know, roughly 1400 to 1420. But I think there's more upside to go there. And but I'm not playing it. We're not long or short gold. I'm really playing it from the silver side, the long side on silver, because it's been a lot weaker than gold, and the commercial positioning in it is much more bullish. And just, you know, my charts say that, you know, we came much closer to support than we ever did resistance. So we're staying long silver.
But right, why silver in cryptocurrencies? That's the Matt Demeter protection portfolio, right?
That is. No, I think that, you know, silver is a $20 billion market, tiny. You know, crypto, we talk about being small and at you know, $450 billion. So, you know, silver is the smallest of them all.
Now, I see the treasury bonds, and I think they're going dramatically still lower. I don't know where you're at here. I think that, of course, there certainly could be a bounce that would never surprise me. But I think longer term, as you called the bear market a year ago, okay, and said that that was over. And of course, I agree with you, and I think that we're going much lower, although there could be a rally. Where's your target in the TLT right now?
First off, I agree that we're going much lower over the longer term, much lower in treasuries. They are over very short term. They are oversold. We got close to my minimum target downside, and I think we're going to get a bounce. So we've temporarily covered some of our like TLT shorts. But I'm looking for a bounce in TLT to reinitiate that short position. It's just that they got oversold on daily indicators, and commercials have gotten long, the 10-year and 30-year futures. So I think short-term treasuries go a bit higher. And that's a great opportunity to get – that will be a great opportunity to get short, because long-term, and I've said this maybe many months ago, I see the 10-year rate going to 11%.
11%, you call it. That's Matt Demeter from Demeter Research, from DemeterResearch.com. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. And make sure you go to LibertyTalk.com and download the show every single day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.